So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and start to turn to John chapter 8. You're turning to John chapter 8. Something unusual happened over the last few weeks. I've had these things rolling through my head, and I looked up to see when I had talked about this subject last. And initially, it looked like it was like 5 years ago. And I kept thinking, no, I've talked about this more recently. And then I finally figured out that, you know, I just changed what I called the message, and I spoke about this exactly 1 year ago. Now, I'm a little systematic sometimes when it comes to some of these things. I like to make sure I'm covering certain things and talking about certain things. And I keep track of what I speak and have the sermons all the way back to like 2011. The digital copies are on my computer. And then everything from 2011 on is in a file cabinet in the other room. And so when I've got an idea, I do look at what I've said previously, because I never preach the same thing twice. Even if I preach the same set of notes, I wouldn't preach the same thing twice. But I really felt led to go in a direction this morning that that I kind of have spoken of recently, and it's also been kind of connected to some of the stuff where I've been redoing the Got No Phobia series. And I was thinking, am I doing the right thing? You know, people get tired of hearing the same thing all the time. And the Lord said, no, somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to hear this again, maybe even today. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody who will be watching via Facebook or something, or maybe someone in here wasn't here when I spoke at last. But I'm gonna go here because I think it's important. So you keep turning to John chapter 8 if you're not there. I do want to tell you this little story, though, because I'm going to talk to you this morning about breaking lies. So, you know, got to have a fun story to start out with, right? Some of you are like, oh, no, here comes another bad joke. I think this one, you'll like this one. Two boys were arguing one day in the classroom at their school. And the teacher walked into the room and she heard them arguing. And she said, why are you bickering and arguing with each other? And the boys replied, well, we found a $10 bill. And we decided to give it to whoever could tell the biggest lie. And the teacher looked at him and she said, you should be ashamed of yourselves. When I was your age, I didn't even know what a lie was. And the two boys looked at each other and the one boy just handed her the $10 bill. Yeah. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Now that we're done being silly. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. In case you didn't have that version, you probably don't. That was the New King James. I thought that was a different version. No, I wrote it down. I always pay attention. Who's the father of lies? Yep. The devil's the father of lies. Okay, we're done. Yeah, if we recognize what this verse says, that the devil is the father of lies, then we need to make sure that we understand that we take that in and get all that we can out of that idea. Somebody says, well, that doesn't sound like something I want to get a lot out of. Well, what if it was? What if it is something that you need to get a lot out of? See, if you believe any lie, then you believe something that originated with the devil. Let that sink in a minute. If you buy into any lie, then you're buying into something that came from somebody who absolutely despises you. Did you know that the devil absolutely despises you? Because you know why he doesn't like you? Because you look like God. You were made in God's image. I think that must have been really frustrating for the devil, because he wanted to be God and he didn't get to be God. And then God turned around and made a bunch of people and they look like God. And he despises you because God made you like something that he can never be like. What's the father's part in the birthing process? Well, when I say birthing, maybe I should back up a little bit, because some of you are going to immediately go to just the delivery. But no delivery happens if a father doesn't participate with a seed. The seed comes from the father. So if the devil is the father of lies, then that means he's the one that provides the seed, seeds of fear and doubt, seeds to make something bad happen, seeds that are designed to bring forth something that's not good. Now, how many of you have noticed that he uses people to help him out? Yeah. Dang. I wish people wouldn't do that. Yeah, he does use people to assist him. But I want you to think of this right now. Because some of us, you know, we hate it when people lie to us. We get frustrated when people don't tell the truth. We get angry. We get stirred up. We want to do something about it. Sometimes we want to do something to somebody because they lied to us. I want to remind you that people are not the source. They're the delivery system. People are not the source of lies. They're not the seed of lies. They're not where the lie began. People are the delivery system. By the way, do you know one of the people who lies to you a lot is you? Next time you're mad at somebody for lying to you, remind yourself that for every lie someone's told you, you've probably told yourself just as many lies, if not more. So as you judge that person who lied to you, don't forget, pointing the finger, one's going this way, three's pointing backwards. Being angry at the delivery system probably won't stop the lie. Because if the source is someplace other than the delivery system, then that source will continue to speak that lie to someone else and to someone else and to someone else and to someone else. Oh. So I'm not getting to the source when I get mad at the lie. Is this resonating with anybody? It's to help you think. Every lie needs dealt with at the source. And if you can look past what brought the lie to the source of the lie, then you can start to deal with it in a spiritual realm that you'll never get to on a natural realm by telling somebody, "Don't lie to me." Sometimes the liar, by the way, doesn't know they're lying. Did you know that? Sometimes the delivery system doesn't know what they're delivering is a lie. So all the angst and anger and everything that goes with that, go back to last week's message on fear. And by the way, sometimes you need to ask yourself, too, why the delivery system carried the lie. Why did that person tell that lie? Why did that person carry that? Why did they repeat that? They ought to know better than that. Why did they do that? What's going on there? And get past the person and try to get back to the source to realize that the person may have done what they did because they're being missourced and they don't realize it. Just like sometimes I lie to myself and I'm being missourced and I don't realize it. This is better than my notes, just so you'll know. The Lord's speaking some stuff to me. We've all experienced lies that come at us from the enemy. And I want to focus a little bit in on the lies that talk about us individually. How many of you have ever been, you know, told you're a loser or you'll never amount to anything? Hey, let's just try this a little bit. Can anybody tell me the kind of lies that the devil says about other people, or maybe he's said about you? Anybody got one? You're not good enough. Well, let's just hold that. You're not good enough. What's another one? There is no God. And when it's said to you, it's like, what are they trying to say? You're out of luck, Jack, because God's not going to help you. That kind of thing, yeah. What else? Don't talk to them, they won't believe you. Let's just take those three. Don't talk to them, they won't believe you. If that's a lie, then what's the truth? They may not tell you they believe, but they will hear. And what they hear could change something. Bob was talking before the service up here today, and he was talking about going to a funeral years ago with a bunch of other guys that all had long hair. Or had hair at all, Bob. I mean, come on, man. This old Baptist preacher got up and preached Jesus at the funeral. And it changed Bob, even though he was mad about it at the time. He was furious. He and all the other long hairs. He said they were all mad because their friend, their long-haired friend, had died tragically. And they were like, you're not even concerned about us. You're talking about Jesus. You should be talking about our friend and about what we're going through. And they were mad. He said he called that guy, found his name, and called him years later. And the guy was a little bit like, he probably had a hard time even remembering, you know. He was shocked, wasn't he? I made a difference. But that lie, see, that's the thing about a lie. There is no God. What's the problem with that lie? Well, if there is a God, I suddenly start to change how I react. So if I believe the lie, then I react with there is no God, and I act like a person without hope. But when I believe there is a God, then I start to look to the God of hope, and hope comes into my life. You're not good enough. What's the truth? You are good enough. And I tell you what, I don't think I've ever heard that in my entire life. I'm good enough. Usually you don't hear that unless, you know, it's from a child who's some. My grandson, I told you that story, I think last week. He was counting on an abacus. And he moved 10 beads and counted all 10 beads at 2 years old. And when he got the last one, he says, 10. I says, wow. And he goes, I smart. His mama does a wonderful job with him, I tell you. I smart. Little kids say that because they don't know. But see, they haven't learned to believe the lies. They haven't learned to believe the lies. I know I've repeated this a lot, but I'll say it again. I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have in his head about me. I can't afford it. And I don't need it, I don't want it, and it's not helpful. What God says about me is always the truth. What God says about you is always the truth. What the devil says about you or me is always a lie. Always a lie. Even if there's a half-truth put in it, it's mixed with something else to get me to think the wrong thing and believe the wrong thing so that I will react the wrong way and do the wrong thing. God's motive is always to benefit and to lift me up. The devil's motive is always to steal, kill, and destroy. Always. Always. So, who does God say that you are? How about some of those? Who does God say that you are? Shout them out. Royal priesthood. What'd you say? a child of God, a royal priesthood. What else? Joint heir with Jesus Christ. Yeah. What else? Able. You are more than able. You're, what's that? You're his creation. Do you know he says you're holy? What? Yeah. He says you're holy. He says you're already set apart. He set you apart unto himself. I thought I had to set myself apart. Well, you have to recognize that he set you apart. When you recognize that he set you apart, you start to act like what he set you apart for. There's so many things that we have a hard time believing. You know why we have a hard time believing so many of the things that God said about us? Because we've been told other things about us. And it's easy to believe the other things about us because a lot of people have told us those other things over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And if you get told enough times over and 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 over that you're this or you're that or you're not this or you're not that, that God didn't say, but the devil did say because somebody didn't realize they were agreeing with the devil. By the way, a lot of people agree with the devil about you being bad because they agree with the devil about them being bad. Does that make sense? You can't be that good because I know I'm not. I'm better than you. Sometimes that's what's going on inside of there. Got this stuff going on inside of us. So God says one thing, the devil says another thing, and the question is, who am I going to believe? Do you think it's a sin to believe the devil rather than God? Eve, it says, sinned when she believed a lie that the devil told her rather than the truth that she had already been told by God. Every sin has a lie at its core. Do you know that it's a sin to agree with anyone other than God about your life? It's a sin to agree with anyone other than God about your life. And the number one person you tend to agree with other than God about your life is yourself. You know, I can do anything with my life I want. He gave me free will. I can do anything I want. Well, now, you know, I got to say, sometimes I think we tell children nowadays, you can be anything you want to be. Well, you can be something amazing that God created you to be. But if God didn't make you 6'9", doing, you know, 360 spins in the air and dunking, you can tell people all day that you're 6'9" and you can do a 360 dunk, but somebody's going to ask you to show it eventually. You know what I'm saying? We can do anything with our lives that we want to, in the sense that we can do whatever we want to do. We have a choice. But we will never fully succeed at what we want unless we want what he wants. We will never fully succeed at what we want unless we want what he wants. And he always wants what we really want. He always wants what we really want. I'm not sure you're convinced of that. Let me say that again. He always wants what we really want, even when we don't know we want it. He always wants what we really want because there's something inside of us that is designed to connect to the divine, and the divine knows where we participate with him at our fullness and our completion of what we were created to do, and that's where we want to be because that's the best place we can possibly be. And anything less than that is below our privilege and his calling. if I didn't believe the devil, I would never sin. Think about it. Sin is something I do in a way that isn't God's best for me. The lie with sin is God won't give that to you. So what's the truth? See, if we could, somebody said, I don't want to learn to hear the devil's voice. Well, I want to know the difference between the devil's voice and God's voice. And I need to know that difference because when I hear that liar and I immediately identify the lie, then I have all of a sudden got information about what the truth really is. I can move toward the truth because I can hear God's voice and I know the liar will lie. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Everybody say this together. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, now I've got my work cut out for me to walk uprightly. I'm going to have to work really hard. That's why I can't get some good things, because God won't give them to me because I don't walk uprightly. Do you understand what upright is? It's not you being perfect. It's you recognizing who is perfect. It's not you being flawless. It's you walking in the life of the one who was flawless for you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the devil will keep telling you you're not that either. Well, I know me. I know you too. I know you after who God says you are too. And I need to see you after God, who God says you are, instead of seeing you after who sometimes somebody else sees you or I see you as. We've all had our shortcomings, but his love and his outpoured life in our behalf has changed our story forever. And now his story has become our story, changing our history. God is for us. God always loves us. God is always looking to bless us. He's always looking to pull us out of whatever stupid situation we're in and put us into his presence at a level that he knows we need and we desire. Whenever I believe a lie, I empower the liar. I say that a lot. But it's true. If I believe a lie, I empower the liar. John 8, verses 31 through 32 says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you've heard me tell this story. I probably told it the last time I shared this message. But how many of you remember the story of the elephant that got burned up in the tent at a circus? And the story goes that when it was a baby, it was tied with a rope to a small stake that it couldn't get away from. And then for the rest of its life, all they ever had to do was tie it with a rope to the small stake, to the point where when the day came that there was a fire and everything burned down around the tent, or around the elephant, the tent and everything burned down on it, the elephant died in the fire. But if it had known how strong it was and how weak the rope and how weak the stake was, the elephant would never have tried to get away. It just didn't know the truth, so it could not be set free. What we believe is powerful. We say that in some of the different declarations we make, and I think it was this morning. What I believe changes the world. You say, what do you mean what you believe changes the world? What I believe changes the world. You mean you're going to make a big difference in the world? I'm going to make a big difference in my world. Because I'm going to see my world different than I would have seen my world. And that means I'm going to behave differently. And if I behave differently and change my world, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to change the world of those who come in contact with me. As I change my world, as I see my world through his eyes, instead of seeing my world through the eyes of, oh, who knows, maybe my mama or maybe my daddy, who didn't mean to, but thought they were helping, but didn't tell me the full truth because they didn't know it themselves. They weren't the source. Don't be mad. Maybe when I realize what my heavenly Father says about me, and I take that and I start to function in that, I start to change everything about my world. And then I start to change the world around me so that everyone I come in contact with has some slight sense of something's going on here. That's why we talk about being supernatural all the time. You can be a supernatural door opener. Just open the door for somebody. It might be a moment in their day that's the best thing that happened to them all day. And you can work behind a counter like Mark has to sometimes and be supernatural just in helping somebody get the right carburetor. You don't sell too many carburetors anymore, do you, Mark? Not very many, yeah. Dated myself. Sometimes we've been told a lie so long that the truth seems unbelievable. That just can't be true. I can't be what you're saying I am. We believed a lie so long that it's impossible for us to see the truth. Well, it's not impossible. That would be a lie. Because all things are possible for those who believe. Do you believe that you can be who he said you can be? Oh, I don't know. You know, I've lived a long time. There's some things I wish I hadn't done. And I don't know. You can still be who he said you can be. You got breath? If you got breath, you can still be who he said you can be in this earth. When the truth is revealed, sometimes it brings a revelation that creates a separation between the lie and me for the first time in my life. And when that begins to happen, sometimes I don't know what to do. I mean, wait a minute. I don't have to. Really? Like, what? That's what? It's not true? My whole life I believe. What? And some lies are so ingrained that they just seem like reality. They seem like reality. They seem like such a reality. And we find ourselves agreeing with them and becoming the delivery system because we affirm the lie. And that becomes our end point. This far and no more. Now, last week, remember I told the story of the neighbor's dog up on the north side? Some of you will remember. Some of you weren't able to be here. It's okay. It's okay. And the dog, all you had to do was say, snake. And the dog would run from you. Because he believed he had a fear that was imprinted on him. He had a fear that was imprinted on him. Do you realize that a lot of the fears that you have that are imprinted on you or thoughts that you have, maybe you're not afraid, but you have this belief about yourself, it was imprinted on you someplace when you were little, perhaps, or maybe during a certain important part of your life, some rejection that happened when you were a young man or a young woman. And that rejection has now been imprinted on you, and you've been told this or that, and you've believed this about yourself until you can't function outside of that lie. That's why it's important for you to begin to recognize what God says and say what God says, even though it may sound like it can't be quite true. That thing that God says, can that really be true about me? Can I be that? Yes, you can. And in reality, you already are. You just have to walk in who he says you are. Now, let me just do something right here. I want a little bunny trail. in all this. Because I mentioned last week, you know, that I said something about that, and some of you maybe didn't get a chance to hear that. So I'm just curious. Let's just have a little practical thing here today. Because I think I can fix something for us all, once and for all. I'm going to try to fix it today. You ready? Here we go. Is there anyone in this room who does not have access to one of the following? The internet via smartphone or a computer or a tablet. DCTV or a CD or a DVD player. Anybody who has none of those things, you don't have any of those things. No access to any of those things. Okay. How many of you have access to the internet? That's most of you. How many of you have access, but you could care less? No. Okay, never mind. I understand. I get it. It's okay. I have access, kind of. I can get the weather forecast. I can Google puppies. Yeah, it doesn't work half the time. Yeah, that's true. All right. I'm going to read you a verse, two verses. Acts 2, verses 42 and 43. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Okay. Notice the early believers were devoting themselves to good teaching. It says the apostles' doctrine, but some verses say doctrine, some say teaching, the apostles' teaching. The apostles were the one doing the teaching because they were the ones who were the most experienced with what Jesus had said, and they were repeating what Jesus said. They started telling everybody what they had learned from Jesus, and that's why the teaching was so good. It wasn't so much the apostles' teaching as it was the teaching of Jesus, the teaching of the truth of the good news. That's what the apostles were sharing. It wasn't just an apostolic word that only apostolic people can give. I've heard people teach it that way sometimes. The apostles' teaching, well, we need good apostles to teach. And, well, you're just a pastor. You don't have what it takes to teach us the important stuff. Listen, everybody in this room's got what it takes. You got Bibles. you got more of the apostles' teaching than most people did for the first several centuries. You by now, the scripture says, by now you all ought to be teachers. You got it. You got this. So it's good. The word for devoted here has an interesting translation in the book of, I believe it's Romans, the end of the book. There's a place where it talks about these two people who, it says, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints in the King James Version. Addicted themselves. Don't volunteer right now, but how many of you are addicted to coffee? Never mind. I just somebody like, yeah, me, woo-woo. You're devoted to coffee. Devoted to coffee. You're devoted. We get devoted to certain things. What does that mean? Well, if you're addicted, you have to have it. You want it. You crave it. You know your body wants it. If you're addicted to something, you know, medically, you have to have that thing. And if you don't have it, you start to have the twitches or whatever. You got that going? That's really what the basis of this word is. Like, they were addicted, if you will, to wanting to hear what the Lord had to say to them through those who had known the Lord and were speaking what he had to say to them. They wanted to know. And so they were doing the teaching, and they were doing the fellowship. They were addicted to fellowship. They wanted a relationship. Next week, we're going to have a fun time together. Or at least it could be fun. Somebody says, well, I don't know if I really need to be there. You don't have to be there, but it might be more fun for us if you were. Fellowship and the breaking of bread. Well, we're going to eat together. That may be a reference to communion. It may be a reference to just breaking bread, as in just eating together. It actually probably is a reference to both. Because a lot of times when they would break bread, like Jesus did, they would be having their regular meal. And while they were having their regular meal, guess what they remembered? Jesus says, as often as you do this, do so in remembrance of me. He wasn't talking about the wafer and the juice that we do on Sunday mornings. Not that that's not a good thing, but he was saying as often as you get together and you break bread together and you're in relationship with each other and you're in connection with each other, don't forget to bring me into the room. And a prayer. It's fun to pray together. Fun to believe God together. Fun to worship together. Can cover that in that same word. The thing is, from this day forward, I would like to make sure to put pressure on you to make you feel really uncomfortable. Here we go. You ready? I'd like to make sure that everybody has access to last Sunday's message and the Sunday before 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 and ad nauseum. Okay, here's the thing. What was going on in the early church? They were together. I mean, they were together. They were together together. You know, the handy thing about the early church was right there in Jerusalem, there was only one. It's like you either go to church there or you just don't go. And they didn't have Bibles, so if they wanted to hear the word, they couldn't just sit at home and do it and say, I'm fine. Who needs those people? Which, by the way, there are a lot of Christians who feel that way. I'm fine. I don't need those people. Oh, did I just tell a lie? Well, I repeated one. If you believe the lie, you've empowered the liar. I don't need those people. I'm good. Just me and God. Lone Ranger. Hi-oh, silver. That I keep in my pocket because I didn't go to church and have to give any. Okay, so here's the thing. If you don't have access, and not everybody in this room probably has a smartphone. If you don't have access to a smartphone, you probably can't just go listen to a message that you've missed. Maybe I'll have to buy some CD players. I'll do it out of my own pocket. If you need a CD player to catch up on a message you missed, this is really mean, too. There's one couple in the church I know. They've got vacation, and they got something else going. You know, they're going to be going, and here I am just beating on them already, telling them while they're gone, they got to hear all the messages. Oh, man, come on. But seriously, what would we be like if we were like this early church, where we believed that our gatherings together and that what was being talked about at church was part of a vision, that we were part of that vision, that we were part of that vision, and doing that vision together was an opportunity for us to do something that we couldn't do on our own or by ourselves? What would it be like if we were hungry to stay on page together, to hear Pastor Tim repeat himself sometimes a little more often than he should? I said something to my wife about repeating myself yesterday when I was thinking about this message, and she goes, you don't really repeat yourself too much preaching. Just everything else you say, but not too much preaching. Thanks, honey. Make me feel good. But what if everybody would consciously make an effort to know what's going on amongst us, because this is part what I'm doing now, or what somebody else may do when somebody else gets up and shares. What if our hearts were joined together to the point where everything that was being communicated out of this house was important enough to us that we actually believed that God brought us here for a reason and brought us to this body for a reason and wanted us to know what was going on. I mean, even down to maybe even we figure out, I don't know, we could read the bulletin, but it's more fun to listen to Mark. But to be aware of what's going on so that we can avail ourselves to the things that God's doing so that we can grow with each other. Because the amazing thing was, it didn't say they went out on their outreaches and they went out on their community services and they went out on their this and they went out on their thus, on that. It says that they devoted themselves to the word and to fellowship and to prayer and being connected. And the more connected they were, guess what happened? Signs and wonders. And the church grew. And they didn't have to figure out how to do anything because God was showing them how to do everything. Wow. I'm not against us coming up with some good ideas and going out and doing some good things in our community. I just bragged about Reading doing that this morning. But the point is that if we start really building this, God is going to grow it. And sometimes I don't think we really believe that what God's doing here with us together is as important as maybe other things that we've got to do. Got a lot to do. I get it. I got grass that needs mowed already. Thank you, Lord. It slowed down just a little on the rain thing. I might actually, I didn't have to mow every 4 days this week. That was great. Let's not believe the lie that our gatherings aren't important. Let's not believe the lie that missing church is not a big deal. Let's not believe things that keep us from being excited about what God wants to do when God wants us to be more excited about what he's doing with us together. And the truth is that missing isn't that big a deal, but it is a big enough deal that I think it's worth the effort to make up catching up what you missed. Is that maybe true enough? It's not a big deal. Let's not turn this into a big deal. But it's not a big deal. I can show you how to get, if you got a smartphone, I can show you how to get every message. You want to watch them on YouTube or you want to just listen to them? They're available. And if you don't have something, I'll work with you. I'll figure out what you need. If you got Spectrum TV, we're on at 5 o'clock on Wednesday and Sunday at 6. We can catch you up. Because I think if we all are hearing the same things and we're growing in our faith together, something powerful, a synergy can take place that can make us grow even more individually and as a group. There are a lot of little lies that creep in and diminish the experience God desires for his people. There are a lot of little lies that creep in and diminish what he wants to do for us. And even while I've been speaking today, I just wonder. I wonder when I asked for lies earlier and I said, what's one of the lies the enemy tells? I wonder how many people had one pop into their head and you didn't say it. You know why you didn't say it? Because it's scary. Because it's uncomfortable. Because we don't always want to say the lies that we've been hearing for years. Because that's hard for us. Because those lies have been so dominant and they've worked against us so powerfully. And maybe we're not sure they're not true. We don't know what to think. So the lie pops in and you think, I want to believe that's a lie. See, today I want to set you on a course to breaking all the lies. I want to set me on a course to breaking the lies. I've been working on this for a long time. And writing a book and doing a lot of different things that I've done is all part of me trying to break the lies off of my life. You can't be this, you can't do that, you'll never be, blah, blah, blah. And I want to break off the blah, blah, blahs. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit back for just a minute in your seat. Just sit back, close your eyes a minute. Just sit back and think with me. I'm going to pray a little prayer over top of you, and I'm going to ask God to talk to you about a lie. Maybe two. Lord, have mercy. Don't let a floodgate open. Some people aren't ready to hear them all. But close your eyes a minute and just relax. Papa God, I thank you that you are the one who enlightens us, that you expose the lies of the enemy, that you bring light into every dark situation, that you bring to our mind, Lord, what you want us to know, and help us to know what's not from you. And so, Father, as I'm praying right now, I pray that for each person here, that if there's a lie that they're believing, and we probably all have them, that you would just begin to bring something forward that's been said to them that maybe they've said about themselves. Just bring it forward to mind. In Jesus' name, reveal the lies, Holy Spirit. Reveal the different lies to each one that they need to know about right now. As you're sitting there, if nothing comes, don't believe the lie that nothing's going to. As you're sitting there, if you don't feel like anything's come to you, don't think there's something wrong with me. If that was already the thought that you had, now you know the lie. If a thought comes to you that isn't lifting you up, encouraging you, and filling you with life, try to mark it. If you need to, write it down. Just giving God a little bit of time to speak to us. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to each person in this room so that no lie can stand. Now, if something has come to you, probably some of you have already begun to do this. Maybe you haven't yet because you didn't hear me say it. But if you heard a lie, then it's time to flip that lie. What's the truth? What's the truth? Ask God, what's the truth? Father, in Jesus' name, what's the truth? Reveal truths to those who need those truths revealed to them right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Even if this is only going to touch one person here today, even if I know this was what God wanted me to say today, and if you're the only person that is touching right now, I thank you, Jesus, that you wanted to touch that one person. When you get a chance, everybody look up here now. Look up here. When you get a chance, if you got nothing, talk to God about that when you get a chance. If you think you got something, try to articulate it. Either say it out loud while you're praying going down the road. I love to do that. What the heck was that, Lord? That was a weird service. If you think you got something and you articulate it to him and you say, I feel like this lie was revealed to me. If you didn't get a truth, try to figure out what the opposite of that lie would be. Ask God to show it to you. If you got the opposite, then write them down. Write down the lie. Write down the truth. Write them down. Put them someplace where you can see it. I'm going to tell you something. If you had a lie revealed to you during this time, you don't have to tell me about it. Maybe you call me up years later, like Bob called that guy up years later. You don't have to tell me about it. If you want to, you can. But here's the thing. If you had a lie revealed to you and you had the truth brought in and you thought, oh, the opposite is the truth, it's going to be hard for you not to snicker at that for a while, because if you've been being lied to for, goodness gracious, some of you are getting up there in your 30s and 40s. I mean, you've been believing this thing for a while. If you've been having a lie told you for a long time, it's not going to dissipate and disappear instantaneously just because, well, it might. I need to be careful about that. Maybe somebody in this room had a revelation and you're just going to go out of here lighter than air today. Woo-hoo-hoo, I just realized I've been being lied to all this time. But you might have to actually look at it a few times and remind yourself, the devil says this and God says this. Who am I going to believe? I've been believing this for a long time, and in that service, I felt like God said this to me. Who am I going to believe? And you might have to actually, here you go, you ready? You might have to actually declare it about yourself. I remember they told a story about, I'm picturing him right now, but I can't think of his name, prophet. He would walk around and he would just look at people and he'd say, I am altogether lovely. Does anybody remember who I'm talking about? Did you ever hear that story? He had the Gulliver revelation prophecy about Bob Jones. There we go. Have you ever seen Bob Jones? When he says, I am altogether lovely, that is definitely a statement of faith. But he would just say, I am altogether lovely. Because God spoke to him and said, Stop referring to yourself negatively. You are altogether lovely. So who knows what God may have spoken to you this morning. Maybe nothing happened. But I'm hoping that a whole lot happened to a lot of people. Let's all stand up together. Let me speak this over you. You change atmospheres. Where you go, the people you're around are affected by your presence, because your presence carries His presence. You make a difference. You don't have to be smarter than everybody. You don't have to be more articulate than everybody. Sometimes you don't need to say a thing. You just, because you are who He says you are, you make a difference. And because you are who He says you are, you can do what He says you can do. So you are a world changer. You are a dead raiser. You are a blind eye opener. You are full of life. You are full of love. Because Jesus is inside of you, and that's enough. That's enough. So, Father, I pray you bless your people now. As we go from this place, let us fully, fully, and completely recognize the truth. Let us completely reject the lies. When the lies come at us, Lord, let us find ourselves saying, wait a minute! Let us find ourselves realizing the lie when it happens, and let us find ourselves as people who then look to you to hear the truth so that we can be all that you've called us to be to everyone who needs us to be that. Bless us as we go. Return to this place, Lord, rejoicing. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.